Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 26, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 50, the second paragraph in our personal stories, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. for the 12 steps, Cindy K. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Terry C., Carrie S., and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, August 25th, the special edition, is 13,318. That's 13318. And for this morning's August 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,319. 13319. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcement. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day, everybody, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. And Cindy K., if you would please read the 12 traditions.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy, recovered in Kansas City, Missouri. These are our 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need only maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thanks. Have a good day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 50, the second paragraph, which begins with "In Our Personal Stories." I will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Terry C. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, and thank you. This is Terry C., recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. Whether we agree with a particular approach or conception seems to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. Good morning, everyone, again. I'm glad to be sharing on this paragraph because I'm not sure that I've given it always as much thought as I have this morning, and some things I take for granted. But the thing that really stands out to me in my experience is my approach and how I conceived of a power greater than myself, you know. I know that for me, I was, as the paragraph stated before, was too busy condemning people who thought they had a concept of God and a good concept of God until I came into the rooms and, you know, just like Evie asked Bill or posed to Bill, you know, what's your own concept? I never really had the autonomy or the freedom or felt that I had that to kind of ponder that or think that. And when I read the approach and how I conceive of, I can remember traveling on business, and I'm a very tactile person. I learned that in the rooms. I learned that about myself. And I can remember being in the Pacific Northwest and Mount Rainier when I was traveling, and Mount Hood kind of weren't my higher power, but they symbolized the greatness of my higher power for me. And that was very, very helpful because it was at a point where I think I really was approaching and kind of coming up with my own concept of God. And that worked, you know, it worked. I mean, my higher power isn't a tree or a mountain, but I got you know, what I got to kind of think of the concept of a power greater than me, because I was a person for a long time who was a pretty great power, in my opinion. And then I also did read books like Came to Believe, the AA Came to Believe book. And in that book, and in many of the meetings, I would hear about modest concepts of God, humble concepts of God, angry concepts of God, you know, misunderstandings of God. And in all of those stories, what I basically heard was how a lot of people, no concept of God, atheists, agnostics, came to believe in some kind of power greater than themselves and were content with it. They were content with it. They were at one with that power. And that was kind of like, you know, what I learned in Bill's story. You know, he saw Evie, his feet had grasped a new soil. And just like in this meeting in the mornings, you know, every time I listen and I listen to your concept of God or I listen to your understanding of God, I can get the hope, just like Bill had, that that's going to, you know, that's going to happen for me. That can happen for me. That is happening for me. So, yeah, in this particular paragraph, it's really beautiful the way we each are able to decide who God is or who our higher power is. But the most important thing we have to do commonly is to seek that power. And I seem to be saying that a lot these days, but I realize once I'm seeking, I'm already. Thank you. Thank you. Once I'm seeking, I'm on my way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for timing me. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry C., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 50, the second paragraph. Who would like to share on that paragraph?
Cindy D.
Cindy D.
Andrew J.
Did I
Jackie
hear
Jackie H.?
Kayla
Jackie H. Was that Kayla H.?
Kayla T.
Kayla T. Did I hear Ginger in there? Who did I hear
yes.
between Cindy and... Oh, I did. Ginger C. Okay. Okay, so
Michelle
I have Cindy, Michelle, what was your first initial, Michelle?
Michelle
Max
J.
C. Michelle C. Sorry. And did I hear Meg?
Mag
Wait, I heard
C.
Meg. Meg C.
Yes.
Michelle, what was the first initial of your last name?
J.
J. Okay, we're going to stop
G.
there. Okay, we're going to stop there, okay? So I have Cindy D., Ginger C., if everyone could press star 1 to mute, please. Jackie H., Kayla T., I think it was, Michelle J., Meg C., and I got you on the end here, Roz G. Okay, so if everyone can mute except Cindy, please, and go ahead, Cindy D.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And I've been thinking as I was out on my walk this morning about spirituality and this terrible habit of comparing myself to others and feeling like I come up short. And today I was like, you know what? I'm okay just where I'm at. I know I have a connection to God, and he continues to reveal himself to me in all kinds of different ways, you know, from the big stuff to the little stuff. And you know, when I was out walking this morning, there was this white dove in my yard, and I encountered him every time I circled around our property. And he would walk alongside me a little bit as I was walking. And I'm choosing to believe that that was a symbol from God, that he was walking with me this morning. And those are the kinds of things that I see lately. And, you know, when I reflect back on when I first came into program a little over a year ago, I was one of those people that if someone mentioned, you know, God or religion or spirituality to me, I became argumentative and angry, and I just didn't even want anything to do with it. And it's a miracle how far I've come. And, you know, it's a story that continues to unfold, and I'm grateful for that, that, you know, God reveals himself and he reveals more to me as part of my recovery every single day. And I just want to be able to stay in that place and remember that the connection, like any other relationship, ebbs and flows. Some days are stronger than others, and just knowing in my heart and soul that he's there all the time. And that's the essence of my recovery and my program, is that connection to God. Without it, I wouldn't have my abstinence. I wouldn't have the sanity that I have today. and I wouldn't have the fellows in my life that I have today, and I'm so grateful for that. And I look forward to hopefully seeing many of you in Newark in November. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy D. And Ginger C, you're up next, followed by Jackie H.
Great. Thank you so much for your service this morning. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love, in our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself. And back on 29, it says these individuals and these personal stories describe in his own language, from his own point of view, the way he established his relationship with God. And I just love stories because this is the identification piece. This is the story of what somebody was like, what happened, and then what they're like today. And yesterday's special edition was just unbelievable, this message of what can happen and this person's experience with a power greater than themselves. And it happens uniquely, individually, organically to each of us on God's terms. You know, all we have to do is put the food down, get clean, get clear so this power can start working for us in the way that it's always wanted to. And then we follow this practical program of action. We get busy and we get better into the steps as outlined in this book. And the miracle and what happens is that you will start to tap in a way that you probably have never, ever experienced before. And it's your experience. It's not somebody else's higher power and their story. But these stories get to clearly show you this is real. This is happening. And what are you doing? Because this program is always about the actions that I'm taking, never my mind and what I'm thinking. As I said, I've recently shared, I've sat sidelined so much of my life. And I'm so glad to be in the game today with God leading the way. So God, who would you have me be today and what would you have me do? And we will tap into this power because it's down deep within each and every soul. It's not hard to find. But again, like someone was sharing, you got to fire the head and hire the heart. You got to drop down in. But we just follow this book, this work, and I think a lot of this higher power moment really does happen through those ninth step amends. That's where the rubber really hits the road and this inner rearrangement starts happening. So just hold on. You're in for a ride if you haven't gotten there yet, and keep moving a muscle if you have had this amazing gift brought to you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. And Jackie H., you're up next, followed by Kayla T.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being on this line. Excuse me. I'm just at the tail end of a summer cold. Anyway, I just, the same thing always comes to me when I hear the talk of the different ideas, the different stories, the different conceptions of a higher power, and that is the inclusiveness that this program affords for all of us. And I'm just so grateful because at the beginning, these men were all, they were Christian men that began this, and yet there was this, and they had their one way. There was a one way for some of them. But the wisdom, the divinity that picked this book up, picked this program up, and it was born out of, was a higher power that there was some wisdom in these men that said, let's let everybody have their own conception. So we get to hear that, and we do hear that in all of the stories that we hear. Everybody has their own experience. I think more for me, more than even a conception, it's been an experience. And I'm glad for this, because when I came in here, I had a lot of spiritual wounds too. And I wouldn't have fared very well if there would have been a conception of God or my higher power thrown on me. I would not have done well. I wouldn't have been open-minded. But I came into a place where there was open-mindedness about it. And it has been, I used to have an idea about what God was. I really did, from a small child, then as a pastor's wife, and then as a wounded pastor's wife, all of these different conceptions. But today I have an experience. And you know what? I can't tell you what God is. I don't even want to try to put into words what this power that is greater than me has done in my life. And I know one thing, it has worked, because I've spent six decades for sure in the food, out of the food, in the food, out of the food, trying to figure it all out. And when I came in here a year ago and I put down my alcoholic foods, I got a sponsor and I worked the steps, I am not in the food anymore. I am honest to God, neutral with the food. Thank you. And I'm just so grateful for the inclusiveness of this. I guess I keep saying that, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Kayla T., you're up next, followed by Michelle J. Are you there, Kayla? It's star one to unmute.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. Yeah, for me, I just, Kayla T., recovered out a compulsive overeater from Bellflower, California. I remember, like, when I started this recovery journey, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, more recently, though, in OA, for the past few 2 years plus, I can vividly remember believing and thinking that I was the center of the universe and that everything revolved around me, you know, and I was miserable. My life was in turmoil, and I was desperate for something else, always, always seeking some type of purpose, some type of meaning and reason for my life. And once I, you know, like somebody else had talked about, went from the head to the heart and brought it down, surrendered to this program and to the steps and to the idea that somebody else might know something more than I did, they explained to me that I could come to this conception of a higher power by the first time I ever went through the third step or third step was, can you just write the character traits down of a best friend? That's what I was asked to do. I wrote those character traits down, not even having any insight into how this is going to play out. And then when I met with my sponsor again, she offered that, can those character traits now be your conception of a higher power? And I was blown away that I could just go from point A to point B and I could accept that. And like someone else shared, this has been an amazing, amazing journey, getting to know my higher power, getting to know me. I can't even begin to understand, nor would I want to understand, how or why, you know. I just know that today I have a purpose and a point in my life, and that's to help the next person coming up behind me. And, you know, I'm so grateful that nobody told me that it was going to have to be a certain way. And the last speaker just talked about inclusivity. Like, I learned so much from the different genres that people come from and their experiences on what it actually is, you know, it meaning our higher power. Mine's constantly evolving, constantly changing, and I'm so grateful for that sacred time that I get in the morning and in the night when it's quiet and still, and I can really sit with my higher power and get direction for my day. You know, I don't have to have selfishness and self-centeredness and all of these things. It says that our thought life will be placed on a higher plane, and we get that as a gift just by following the steps of this program. So thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Kayla T. That was perfect timing. Okay, Michelle J., you're up next, followed by Meg C.
Ah, MJ from Arkansas, recovered every day by the power and grace of God. What do I add to all of these things? I don't have these great words of wisdom, but I have my own journey. And to share that is not to puff myself up, but to encourage anybody out there who hasn't yet found that journey in that place where they can believe and trust in a power higher and greater than themselves. Like many of you, you know, as a child, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, well, God went away with them too. When I grew up and life had so many hard times and I started on trusting people, I started on trusting life, and as the time went on, I became an atheist. I couldn't handle it, you know. So when you get to the point when you are no longer able to handle it, I did. I got to that point. And I just said, and I've shared this earlier in some visions, that I asked God, if you're there, help me find you. But I haven't shared that shortly after that, I tried to put a gun to my head. I do not suggest this. I'm just saying, this is my journey. And I said, if you're there, you won't let me do this. And you know, my own personal journey was I couldn't trust anybody. I couldn't trust people. Therefore, I had to go on my own journey with a God I did not believe or trust in, and he took me through it. I don't know how you get to that true surrender of yourself, but if you can't trust people and you can't trust situations or institutions to start off, that's fine. But if you can just try to believe that there is a power out there that can restore you and can, just a glimpse, just open that door, just a crack, and ask him in. And I just think the journeys of everybody are so important and so beautiful, and we all have to go on this individual, one-of-a-kind, special journey. And I just know that it's there and it's real and it works. And in program, that's one of the very first things we need to do, you know. And I just want to encourage everybody, don't be afraid of it. Don't fear people. Don't fear this program, and especially your people in vision. Help us be there to encourage you, and God bless you in your finding of your God, of your higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Meg C., you are up next, followed by Roz G.
Hey, guys. This is Meg C. in Denver. Good morning. Thanks, Kathleen. So we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could help restore us to sanity, or I like to use the word clarity. You know, spirituality is just one of the three like key elements that underpin all of this, right? We recover in not just spirituality, but also in body and in mind. And through this great, incredible process that they came up with, our bodies are renewed, and our minds become clearer, and our spirit connects to something that gives us a sense of safety and security. And for me, you know, I've been doing steps, and I know I've said this before, but since like 2003, and in different sister programs as well as AA, and I just stumbled over this step and cried over, sobbed over it, and like, don't make me, you know, no. And I think that's where I missed the point of this step, is that no one has any way of making you or making, we don't do that in this program. You aren't required to prove your faith. We aren't requiring you to demonstrate some kind of dedication. We humbly live our spirituality, each of us, in our own way. And when we go from hurting to healing to helping another, we learn through our sponsors how to be inclusive when we're teaching somebody else these steps. I learned that because someone else has something or something different that I don't, it doesn't mean that I cannot relate. It doesn't mean that I can't be empathic, that I can't be sympathetic or empathetic towards the idea that somebody has a faith in something that I don't. Whatever that person needs at this time or has is fabulous. And I'm happy that they have that. For me, mine is, I don't know, gardening every day, listening to the meetings every day, going over these fantastic steps, which I love. And, you know, all absolute, my cat's on my lap, my dog's at my side. I'm feeling, thank you. I am feeling loved. And that is what I find my spirituality through. So that's all I've got, you guys. Have a fabulous morning.
And thank you, Meg C. Okay, before we hear from Roz, just a reminder, we are on page 50, the second paragraph, comment on that one paragraph only, and I'll be taking some names after Roz G. So go ahead, Roz G, please.
Good morning, I'm Roz G. My schedule has majorly changed, so I'm kind of like sneaking this share in. Wow, you know, I want to say that this, I'm going to relate this paragraph today to making outreach calls and listening to everybody's differences of how they work this program while having the unity and the foundation of being in the big book. I've been working with a new sponsor, and it's been a whole new experience for me. It's been very deep and meaningful and transformative. And she has asked me, how many are you making outreach calls? And I was like, not really, kind of. Well, how many would you be willing to make a day? And I said, one. So I started making outreach calls, and I found a group of people who have the same thing in common with me, which is compulsive exercising. And boy, everybody's different. But we still identify. And then I just listen to people whom I'm attracted to. I look their number up. I give them a call. I've gotten to making more than one outreach call a day, and it has enriched my program. And even though these people, you know, may eat differently than me or can eat some things that I can't or have a different concept of God than I do, we agree that we are compulsive overeaters and that we are powerless over food, powerless over some different emotional things. And to end my share, I also want to say the special edition yesterday was fantastic. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Roz G. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph, second paragraph on page 50?
Jody.
Irene. Reggio.
Irene.
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 B. Beatrice O.
Kathy W.
K. B.
Reggio. B. Okay, hold on one second. Hold on. Shooting, I lost the name. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I have now, and then you're going to have to go a little slower. I have Jody E., Reggie O., Irene B., Beatrice O. I heard a Kathy.
Kathy Jill P.
Oh, Kathy Jill P.
Sandy W.
Sherry K. B.
Sandy W. and Sherry K. B. Okay, let's stop right there. Was the last person Deborah?
G.
Okay. I don't know if we'll have time for all of you, but let's give it a shot. If you cut your shares a little short, we can maybe do it. So I have Jody E., Reggie O., Irene B., Beatrice O., Kathy Jo P., Sandy W., Sherry K. B., and Deborah G. So go ahead, Jody E.
Thank you. Good morning, Kathleen and everybody. This is Jody E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. So, yes, indeed, it seems to matter to make no difference what our particular conception is of a higher power. When I first came into OA many years ago, I found that very refreshing. And yes, it makes so much sense. Why should anything about religion or a conception of a higher power be divisive? There's no reason. There's no reason. You can choose a religion or not, and you can still work these steps. Why is that? How is that? Because the principles of the steps are universal. They are sound. They work. I, like many others, like all of us perhaps, was a hopeless, powerless, compulsive overeater. Once I got into the food, I obsessed about the food. All I thought about was the food. I did all kinds of strange things to control my weight. I was crazy. And yet, today, I am neutral around food. I eat only healthy food, happily. I don't want my alcoholic foods. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. So many years I was obsessed about the food and my weight, and I'm not today. That is a miracle brought about by the working of these 12 steps. And my conception of a higher power, I would say, is less defined now than ever. It's to me, it's very mysterious how this works, and yet I have an idea that it's something like a universal connection that we all have, and that my higher power wants me to be in connection with other compulsive overeaters so that together we can be better people and we can do better things in the world. That's kind of my conception. So whether or not that makes sense to you seems to matter not at all. As long as we each take the steps, we too can recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
And thank you, Jody E. Reggie O., it's your turn, followed by Irene B.
Thank you, Kathleen, so much for your service this morning and everyone who shared and here and is here. I'm Reggie O., and so gratefully recovered in this program out here in California, and so just loving the shares and being in We Agnostics. You know, there's so much here. You know, I just learned a few days ago when I was listening to a very old podcast that this conception of a higher power started long before AA started. It started with Ebbie Thatcher. That's what he said to Bill. That's what turned Bill around. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? And it kind of blew Bill's mind because he couldn't get past his earlier conceptions. And then I was thinking, you know, in the doctor's opinion, he says way back, our first chapter, you know, it's like, and we must have a message of depth and weight, and we must turn to a power greater than ourselves if we are to recreate our lives. And, you know, that hopeless state of mind and body that Jody was just talking about, I mean, I certainly, that's what I came in for. I had to, you know, recreate my life. I thought I was coming in to stop eating compulsively, but I was coming in to have my whole life changed. And I find that more true every day. And, I was thinking, I went back to look at the traditions this morning, and while we was reading, and the second tradition is for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as you know, is that God may express himself in our group conscience. So our group conscience is like, has as many conceptions or experiences of God as there are people here. And that is like, that is just such, I don't know, I find that to be so touching this morning, and I'm so grateful for it. And I woke up thinking about this chapter and we agnostics today and thinking I always, you know, my experience, and I get, you know, conception for me does connote a little bit intellectual, and I've always had an intellectual conception of God, but what comes to me more and more and more in this program is an experience, and that is the sweetness, you know, that is truly the sweet spot. And I'm told that, you know, that God lies deep down within me. And when I first read that, that was the one thing that I loved about this chapter. And that great reality that lies within me, I realize lies within every single human being and everything on the planet. And that's what I think of more and more these days. And, you know, kind of where, when I look at where am I agnostic, right, to continue increasing my relationship with God, this chapter sometimes ask me, you know, where am I agnostic? I just look out and, you know, there are some challenges and I get to grow every day, you know, to see God everywhere. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Reggio. Irene B., you are up next, followed by Beatrice O.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Irene B., a very gratefully recovered bulimic, but very much still recovering from the mental anguish, the twist of the mind that comes with the twisted thinking and the irrational beliefs and all the feelings that come from that automatic self-talk, all those lies that I must challenge on a daily basis. And I thank God for the 10th step that helped me do that. With this paragraph, something that just screamed at me was that that I've been doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Yes, we are insane. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And yes, I am judgmental. And yes, I have had contempt prior to investigation. And out of sheer hopelessness, I had to, by faith, believe that this program was going to be the solution for me, because I, on my own, had not been able to find a solution. So, but how do I do that? Oh my gosh, then all of a sudden, the set aside prayer. I have to set aside everything I think I know in order to be able to have an open mind to receive recovery. As long as I stay with everything that I believe, as long as I'm not willing to open up my mind, as long as I'm not looking for new ways of approaching life, new ways of thinking, I'm going to stay stuck. And I am such an intellectual person that I rely on my head. But I heard earlier today that I need to fire my head and hire my heart. I don't know how to do that, but the program is teaching me how to do that. And there is hope. I thought I was hopeless. But in order to receive recovery, I have to let go of everything I think I know. I have to open up my mind to possibilities, and I have to face and work it and do it. Even though I didn't believe it, I've been doing the steps. I was so skeptical, but it worked. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you. Yes, you can. Sorry, Irene. Thank you so much. Okay, Beatrice O, you're up next, followed by Kathy Jo P.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O from Northern California, recovering food addict. So, I can say that, you know, I have a open mind, and I can say that I'm not judgmental. And, but there's a, and, you know, I know that this program is all inclusive. And so I just want to say that my conception of a higher power was stomped out a long time ago when I was a teenager and a young adult, because I grew up in horror. So I thought, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? You know, I felt forsaken, and the only way I was able to start believing in the higher power is I had to stop hating myself first. And, you know, it says, and I think it's Bill's story, I'm not sure, it says, you know, our spirituality is the cornerstone of our recovery. And so, of my recovery, actually. So, you know, I believe that, you know, they say in this program, it's a three-legged stool. It's spiritual, physical, and emotional. I think that's the three legs of recovery. But anyway, where I'm at today is I know that I can walk in peace. And I have to be very careful not to judge, because I can be really smug about my higher power, and I have to really live and let live and not judge anybody. You know, and I can say that in words, but my heart sometimes feels different, and I have to, you know, do as my God would, and He wouldn't be judging anybody. So, but, you know, there's a sense of peace that I get. And sometimes that even when I listen to the news, I don't have to worry about the violence and the politics and climate change and all that stuff, because I know I have a higher power that takes care of me. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice O. So, Kathy Jo P., you're up next, followed by Sandy W., and if you could each take 2 minutes, we might be able to get the two of you in. I'm sorry we won't get to the rest of you, Sherry and Deborah, but go ahead, Kathy Jo P.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, and I always like to say I have a theology degree, the study of God, and I came in these rooms not knowing a God for myself. And I can know a lot about God, but this program invites me to know God rather than know about. And mm-hmm. I love the quote. I've shared it many times over and over. It's my favorite quote in the Big Book, and it is, draw near to God and He will reveal Himself to you. And I also love the fellows, I think it's Ginger C., that have shared many times, where am I an agnostic today? Tomorrow I'm going to have a lot of tests done to find out when and what my prognosis is for open heart surgery. And I am scared. I'm scared. And I did a fear turnaround this morning, and God said, service. And my guide said, what does service look like for you? And before you knew it, I was in the car driving to a nursing home an hour and a half away from my house to go have the day with my father-in-law. And I really am so excited because I feel so connected to God, and I feel so grateful that I can be of service and I can hear God tell me what I need to do. The other thing I want to share is I went to church yesterday, and the priest talked about his visit to the Auschwitz Museum in New York. And he read a story about people that were in a train car on the way to Auschwitz, not knowing what was in store for them, but knowing it was not good. And they celebrated Shabbat on that train. They lit candles to be aware of their Jerusalem. And I sat there with tears going down my face at church last night, knowing that that's what I'm doing right now. I'm lighting a candle to be close to God, and knowing that even though my Auschwitz might be open heart surgery, that I can have Jerusalem. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P. So Sandy W., can you do like a 60-second share?
I will give it my best shot, Kathleen. Thank you. Thanks so much, everyone. Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, I was just thinking about, I came with a religious upbringing, but how wonderful it has been, how helpful it has been to hear all of you share your approach as to how you came to your conception of a higher power. You know, I heard people talk about all I needed to know was there is a higher power and it's not me, to thinking of myself as a lower power. to the idea of I'd rather live my life as if there were a God to find out there is none than to live as if there is none to find out that God does exist. You know, and it's just been so rewarding as I work with others to see that transformation, that when they build this conception of a higher power, just what it does in their lives. You know, just as we learn so, hear so much in our textbook and in our sharing, I'm just so grateful that, you know, just as I've heard, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And for me, that has certainly been in each of you through this book, and most importantly, the understanding of the God of my conception. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kathleen.
Kathleen, we can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Kathleen.
Oh, sorry, guys. I was muted. I wanted to say thank you for your beautiful and wonderful shares this morning. It was an awesome meeting. And okay, we're going to move right on here since I was muted. But thank you, everyone, and thank you, Team Monday. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Carrie S., if you would please read a vision for you.
Will do, Kathleen. Thank you. It's Carrie S. in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.